Welcome to the Outreach Mass. Oh my God, I come before you with all my restrictions and my pain. I ask you to have mercy on your servant. Be my companion in my sorrows, my hope in my anguish, and my friend in my joy. In this Outreach Mass, grant me the grace to hear your word and worship your Son at Holy Communion. Bless my neighbors. Bless those who provide the Outreach Mass. Bless the Diocese of Lansing and all who, through their prayers and support, make this televised Mass possible. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen.
I've always been envious of people who can speak more than one language. I attended a small Catholic high school in Flint. We only had two choices for language, Latin or French. And at that point in my life, priesthood wasn't in consideration, folks. And because of my French heritage, I chose to take French. I took French in both high school and college. But if you don't use a language, you tend to lose what you once knew of it. You know, we Americans tend to think that all the people of the world should speak English. But yet when you realize all the Spanish immigrants that have come to this country over the years, and our neighbors to the south in Mexico, Spanish has now become kind of a secondary language in this country. Very common, very usable for all of us in this country today. But my high school didn't teach Spanish, or I would have taken it. We have one Vietnamese parish in our diocese, St. Andrew Du Lac here in Lansing. Two Spanish-speaking parishes, Cristo Rey in Lansing and Our Lady of Guadalupe in Flint. Plus, there are several centers in our diocese where Spanish-speaking people work in our fields, on our farms, and in other businesses throughout the diocese and many other dioceses in Michigan. I have a priest friend in the Kalamazoo Diocese who is from Colombia. He celebrates Mass every weekend in both Spanish and English. I wish I had that man's talent with languages, because it has enabled him to serve more of God's people. As I was reading the first reading from the Acts of the Apostles this week, it spoke to me of the time of Pentecost being fulfilled. Luke tells us that all of Jesus' followers remained in Jerusalem after his ascension. And because there was a pilgrimage feast there, Jews from other parts of the world had come to that city of Jerusalem. On this particular day, all Jesus' followers were gathered in one place together. Suddenly there came a strong driving wind which filled the entire house where they stayed. And tongues of fire came down upon them, parted, and came to rest on them. Two powerful symbols, wind and fire, signs of the manifestation of the divine. And the reading tells us they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in different tongues as the Spirit enabled them to proclaim. You know, it sounds so simple to think all of a sudden, Jesus' followers all heard them speaking in their own language. But for those of us who have struggled to learn another language than English, it doesn't happen all that easily. It takes a lot of study, a lot of effort, and a lot of practice to learn another language. And they always say the best way to do it is to live in a home with people who speak the language you're trying to learn. Live in their home with them day to day. It's a great way to learn not only the language, but the customs of the people. Now, you know, when you think about wind on a warm spring day like this, it's very refreshing to take a walk in the warm breeze. I love to see people this time of year flying kites on a breezy day, or just walking in the warm breeze. It can renew our spirit. Yet we've heard so much in recent months about tornadoes striking various states in our country. and the devastation that those tornadoes leave behind. People lose everything. I remember, of course, the tornado that struck down in my hometown when I was a little boy. It was an F5 tornado. It wiped out a whole section of the north end of Flint, and 116 people lost their lives. After that tornado in Flint, we every year had tornado drills in all the schools, public and private, in Genesee County. Or sitting around a campfire. You know, for all of our brothers and sisters who have headed north and are sitting around campfires tonight, very relaxing, very beautiful. Or sitting on a cold winter's night in front of your fireplace. And yet, we hear so much also today about forest fires, raging especially in our western states, just destroying thousands of acres of land. Wind and fire are powerful symbols. It's interesting that wind and fire are the symbols of Pentecost, the symbols used in the Lord sending the Holy Spirit to his people. You know, what amazes me when I listen to that first reading is that the people that were gathered in that house when that all began to fill up with wind and the tongues of fire came, it amazes me they didn't run out of the house in fear, saying something strange happening here. But they stayed. They stayed because they knew something very powerful was happening. They stayed and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. The wind and the fire of Pentecost were not destructive forces. Rather, they symbolize the transformation of God's people, who were no longer frightened. Rather, they were filled with the Spirit and began to speak in various languages as the Spirit enabled them to proclaim the mighty acts of God. Even more amazing is the fact that there are all these people gathered in the town from many different nations, and they all heard the disciples speaking in their own language. Now, the setting for our gospel for this feast, is the evening of the first day of the week. Remember, Mary had been to the tomb early in the morning and found it empty. She ran to find Peter and John, and they ran to the tomb, found the same spectacle. Now it's evening, and the doors were locked for fear of the Jews. Jesus came and stood in their midst. He said, "Peace be with you." And then he showed them his wounds, his hands, and his side, to prove to them that he truly was Jesus who had risen from the dead. And if they were going to stay in that locked room, his mission, his ministry was over. And then he told them, "As the Father has sent me, so I am going to send each one of you." And then he breathed on them, sort of performing spiritual CPR. And you know, folks, when you hear of somebody that they perform CPR on, whether it's a first responder or just another human being coming to the rescue of someone who has stopped breathing, it's amazing to think you can breathe life back into another human being. That's what Jesus was doing. He was breathing his life into his disciples so that they would overcome their fears. And his words to them gave them their commission. He said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive are forgiven. Whose sins you retain are retained." You know, when I look, and I'm sure it's for all of you, when you look at the condition of the world in which we live, and in all that's happened in this world in the past several years, we realize that our world, like the world of the first disciples, needs mercy, forgiveness, justice, understanding, and compassion. And those gifts need to be extended to every man, woman, and child who is living on this planet, people of all nations, races, and cultures. We need the Holy Spirit to bridge the divisions in our church, our nation, and our world, to allow every person and every nation to contribute to the good of all of us. The Holy Spirit was sent to bridge those divisions in this world. And God knows, and we know, that Spirit is definitely needed in this world today for the very same reason it was needed 2,000 years ago. St. Paul tells us in our second reading, no one can say that Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. Paul then talks about how there's different kinds of spiritual gifts that are given to people, different forms of service that we are all called to do, and different workings of the Spirit. But he says it's the same Spirit, the same Lord, the same God who gives us those gifts and asks us to use the gifts we've been given to make this world a better place, a more united place, a place where people are shown respect, compassion, and care, a world where people treat one another as we in turn want to be treated. You know, we're kind of like a human body, which has many parts, but the body is still one. And that sense of oneness seems to be missing in our world these days. And every one of us in this church needs to use our gifts, our talents, and our abilities to make this a more united church, a more united nation, and a more united world. And that will only happen with the Holy Spirit working in and through each and every one of us. As St. Paul says, in one Spirit we were all baptized, into one body, and we were all given to drink of the one Spirit. You see, once Jesus breathed on his disciples, they became new living beings with a new purpose and a new mission, to continue the work that God had given his son Jesus to do, to be a light shining brightly in this world in which we live, a light that casts out the darkness of injustice, disrespect, self-centered living, and abuse, to make this church, this nation, this world, a home to all people that God has created, to realize they are all our brothers and sisters. It is the Spirit that makes us one. If Pentecost and the sending of the Holy Spirit will bridge the divisions of this world, then you and I need to pray that every day in this year will be a day of Pentecost, and the Spirit will come to us, enabling us to learn what it means to live in peace with one another.